and good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And now I like to say that music is like poetry and has a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So I want to thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Quest Youth Radio presents student hosts Brielle Claire and Justin Hill as they produce reviews on history and definitions that focuses on the African-American diaspora. And with that being said, I'd like to introduce both our student hosts, Brielle Claire. Good morning, Brielle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
All right. Okay, so just starting out, I'd like to bring on our first student host, the real deal, Justin Hill. Start with your first segment. But before you do, right, tell us what's important about the person that you're about to present.
Good morning, everybody. It is student host Justin Hill on WSOU. And my diamond segment is on Haley Belafonte. Haley Belafonte is important because he was an American activist, and he was a singer. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. Haley Belafonte is an American singer, activist, and actor. His breakthrough album, Calypso, was the first million-selling LP by a single artist. Belafonte is best known for his recordings of the Banana Boat song. He has recorded and performed in many genres, including blues, folk, gospel, show tunes, and American standards. He has also starred in several films, including Carmen Jones, I Win in the Sun, and Odds Against Tomorrow. Belafonte considered the actor, singer, and activist Paul Robeson a mentor, and he was a close confidant of Martin Luther King Jr. During the Civil Rights Movement of the 1950s and 1960s, Belafonte started his career and music as a club singer in New York to pay for his acting classes. That is it for my segment of Haley Belafonte, and I thank you guys for listening.
Okay, so I have to ask you the most important question. You told us why he was significant and why he was important, right? Tell us a little bit more. Why do you think, what makes him relatable for all of us to understand? Why should we want to know who he is?
We should want to know who he is because during his career he was an important person.
And what exactly made him important?
He was a civil rights activist.
And you hit it on the head. Not only was he a civil rights activist, he worked behind the scenes. He was a confidant of Martin Luther King Jr., as you said. And he also was a significant financial backer of the civil rights movement. And, you know, there's a saying that when you don't stand for, when you have to be able to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And let me say that again. You have to be able to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. And so he was not falling for the racism and the insidious part of the government structure that held black people back. All right. So great job as we move on continually with the music. We'll be right back with our next student host, Brielle Claire. As we continue on, moving straight to our next student host, Brielle, good morning again, and take it away. But before you do, what is significant about the person? What's the most important thing that we should know before you go into your segment?
Okay, so what was significant about Billie Holiday was how she actually, one of her famous songs, Strange Fruit, was based on detail about lynching in the South, and many people considered it as one of the first protest songs of the civil rights movement. And now I will be moving on to a little more information about Billie Holiday. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're about to find yourself. Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday was born on April 7, 1915. She also had an innovative influence on jazz and pop singing. After her childhood, she began singing at nightclubs in Harlem, where she was heard by producer John Hammond, who loved her voice. So she decided to sign a recording contract. She had many, many collaborations with Teddy Wilson, produced by What a Little Moonlight Can Do, which became a jazz standard afterwards. Between the 30s and the 40s, she had a mainstream success on the labels Columbia and Decca. Although, by the late 40s, she was beset with legal troubles and drug abuse. After a short time in prison, she performed at a sold-out concert and began successful being a performer. Her final album was released in 1958. She unfortunately passed away due to cirrhosis on July 17th, 1959, at the age of 44. And also I wanted to add in how a website named Rock and Roll states that Billie Holiday changed jazz forever. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on Billie Holiday.
Okay. She had a nickname. Do you recall what it was?
I'm pretty sure it was Lady... it was Lady Day? Yes.
Are you asking or are you telling me?
Telling me.
Yeah, her nickname was Billie Lady Day Holiday, right? And, you know, you're not familiar. You're too young to know who Louis Armstrong is. Have you ever heard of him before?
Nope.
Okay, well, we're going to fix that, but Louis Armstrong played the trumpet, and he played in such a fashion, right, and he was a jazz musician playing the trumpet, world-renowned jazz player, right, Louis Armstrong, Lady Day, Billie Holiday, patented her singing after Louis Armstrong. And, you know, it's remarkable. When I first found that out, I was like, well, how can a singer, you know, patent her performance, her style, after a musician, a trumpet player? But when I listened to the style in which Louis Armstrong played the trumpet, and then I listened to the style in which Lady Day, Billie Holiday sang, then it all became clear. And so maybe one day you're going to have to be able to try to do that. I mean, take a listen to the both of them. Now, you also mentioned about Lady Day, the fact that she sang a song, right, that was, and I have another question for you, Brielle, right? She sang a song titled Strange Fruit. Now, my question to you right now, right, is what genre of music do you think that song Strange Fruit was? And I'll give you two choices to pull from. Was it under the genre of jazz, Strange Fruit, the song, or was it under the genre of blues?
Not
exactly. It was under the genre of blues, Strange Fruit. Let me explain to you quickly. Blues is the, let me, I'm going to say it the best way I can, right? Jazz is the fruit. And blues is the root. So what we hear in jazz is an up-tempo, upbeat style of the blues, right? The blues is a music, a genre that a lot of people didn't like. They didn't like the blues because the blues had singers telling the truth, actually expressing the things that were actually going on. And, you know, Billie Holiday, getting back to the point, Strange Fruit, that particular song, talked about what was going on. It was an anti-lynching song, right? Now, I see Mr. Harris has joined us. Mr. Harris, good morning. And I'd like for you to join in on the conversation about Lady Day and, you know, jump in about Louis Armstrong, the blues, the jazz, and the song Strange Fruit. What comment would you like to make?
Saying good morning, everybody. I was, you know, I heard some of the stuff that people already said, and those were very valid commentary on Louis Armstrong as far as being one of the creators of what we call jazz today, and how Billie Holiday patterned her vocal styling to an instrument. And that was really what a lot of early jazz singers did. You know, it was Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald did the same thing. You know, when she was singing a song and she forgot the words, she just starts scatting. That's what they call scatting. And, you know, and they were doing it in the flavor as if they were just another instrument in the band. The voice was just a different instrument. You know, and Strange Fruit, strangely, was actually written by a white guy in Connecticut. I don't know whether y'all went over that part of it, but
no, not at all.
Just as a poem. It started out as a poem that was put to music. And because it talked about lynching, you know, in a time when there was still a lot of physical racism, it wasn't as mental as it is today, you know, a lot of people didn't want to hear that. And, you know, just like they, you know, so they like banned her from singing this particular song. But she was in a position where she could do kind of whatever she wanted. She didn't care if you banned her or did, you know, one thing or another. And it was that kind of mentality that really got her killed. Because the whole idea of, you know, first they didn't want black people going into white hospitals to start with. And then she was a drug user. So there was people who were trying to change the laws that made the war on drugs a part of regular society. So she got caught up in all of that, and she was instrumental in having heroin and all that stuff become, they didn't have scheduled drugs back then because it was cocaine and sodas, you know, so they didn't really look at anything, but they said anything that black people are enjoying, we have to outlaw. And, you know, that's, I don't know how much enjoyment you get out of taking heroin, but it was just the mindset. We cannot give them any kind of pleasure that we can't regulate. And, you know, and she got killed because she died because she was having an overdose and they wouldn't let her in the hospital. She died outside of a hospital. I don't know whether you brought that part up either. But, you know, there's a lot to go with Billie Holiday.
Mr. Harris, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, you know, but this is kind of why when y'all brought up Billie Holiday, I was like, that's an excellent choice. Because regardless of her musical talent, she was an extreme talent musically. And she was well known all around the world. It's just that in America, we can't have too many shining stars that have melanin in their skin. And she was one of them, and they did whatever they could to get rid of her.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Harris, you had the last, another comment there?
No. I was like, that's it.
Okay. Well, no, thank you very much for that contribution and your comment. I just want to add, the elephant in the room is the subject of drugs. And I just want to make it clear for our young people, right? Drugs has been used, drugs and alcohol are used as an escape from reality, right? And, you know, many times when people go through the trials and tribulations of life that can be so tumultuous and hard. Life can be hard, and people use the excuse of they get a hold of drugs as an escape away from reality, and that's why it's so important to be able to embrace who you are, what you stand for. Because, like I said with Justin, when you don't stand for anything, when you have to learn to stand for something or you will fall for anything. And drug use is one of those pitfalls that a lot of our people have fallen for. But not just our people, but all people. And I'm going to table that discussion, but I want to just put a book in on it to say that there's no escaping life. At the end of the day, you're there. You have to stand up into reality and fear and hit it face on. I tried my best to handle that, right? But right now we're going to continue musically, right, with Miriam Makeba and a classic song. Let's check it out. We're back. That was Miriam Makeba, and she was also an outspoken person and activist for the cause. And so now we want to continue on. We want to bring back our student host, Justin Hill. And Justin, I'd like for you to present your next segment on definitions. But first, before you do, as always, bring out what's important about your definition, and then lay it on us.
Well, I'm going to be defining the difference between human rights and civil rights. This segment provides Dawson with words and the meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have defined for us. Human rights are rights one acquires by being alive. Civil rights are rights that one obtains by being a legal member of a certain political state. And that is it for my segment of definitions. And again, I am student host Justin Hill.
Okay, so you have to elaborate more, because what you've just done is given us the definition from wherever you got that definition from. You need to tell us that as well. But what is significant? What is the difference? I mean, what do you see as the difference between civil rights and human rights?
Human rights are when people are when humans can do what they want, and civil rights is when people are civil, I think.
Okay, so now that you're in this debate about what the difference is, do you remember our conversation as to what I told you to do?
No.
Okay. I said for you to call upon Mr. Harris. Okay, Mr. Harris, could you help the brother out here?
Yeah, okay, all right. This is another way of looking at it. Human rights are determined by nature, like you were saying. It was just, you just have these certain inalienable rights just from being human and how other people deal with each other on a human basis. And civil rights is determined by man. You know, it has nothing to do with how great the nature is and how things are supposed to be. Civil rights is what we say they are and how we deal with what they are. You know, it was a matter of fact, that was one of the biggest differences, even though rights was the thing we was looking for. Martin Luther King was looking for civil rights. He thought that because of the law, these are certain things that's supposed to be correct for us, too, just like you. Malcolm X was like, as long as we are looking at something through the enemy's eyes, it's going to be hard to come out with something that's going to be beneficial for yourself. So just before he was killed or assassinated, you know, he was going to go to the United Nations and petition that the United States was violating his human rights. You know, you're not supposed to, you know, he felt that regardless of what color we were, regardless of what culture we come from, there are just certain things that you shouldn't be able to do. Even though they were both looking for the beneficial outcome for people of color around the world, Martin Luther King was just looking for black people to be a part of the white society. Malcolm X is like, I want to be part of the world society and bring you into that same vein. And it's a complete difference. One is universal and one is what they call secular. So one's about just people making up their own rules, and the other was just dealing with the natural rules of the world. I don't know if that made any sense. But that was that's my definition.
That's okay, Mr. Harris, because, you know, we call upon you to do the very best that you can at that moment, and we don't give you time to prepare for it. So, you know, I really want to thank you for your comment, right? But I want to go back to our student host, Justin. Justin, what did you get out of, if anything, did you understand, and be honest right now, did you understand what Mr. Harris had to say about the difference between human rights and civil rights?
Yes.
Well, can you give us your own example of what the difference is?
Okay. Civil rights is when
Okay, so this is why I asked you to be honest, okay? I don't want you to just, you know, say yeah and you don't really know, okay? I'm going to simplify it for you. We talked about Billie Holiday a moment ago, and we talked about how Billie Holiday died outside of the hospital. Why did Billie Holiday die outside of a hospital?
I don't know.
She died outside of the hospital because they did not allow black people in the hospital. Do you think that was right?
No.
So do you think that people have a human right, any person, to be admitted into a hospital when it's an emergency?
Yes.
And what would that be called?
Human rights or civil rights?
You know what? I'm so glad you got that one right, because I put it right there on your doorstep. Absolutely. Anytime a person is injured and in an emergency and they need medical care, it should not be a question whether they're black, white, red, blue, or green. It should be a human right to be tended to and cared for. And this is, you know, the civility of the law of the land in America was that where it was segregated, meaning, you know, blacks over here, whites over there. And we don't tend to your kind here. You know, that was all part. And you know, when we talk about Harry Belafonte being behind the scene, you know, Martin Luther King had it was phrased civil disobedience. Civil disobedience boils down to nonviolent protests. In other words, you know, we will protest, but we won't fight. We'll protest, but we won't break any windows. We won't burn down any stores. We won't do anything violent. You know, it would be, you know, it would be counterproductive for us to protest and be violent at the same time. So Martin Luther King, along with the organizations that backed him at that time, practiced nonviolent protests. And so the nonviolent protest was they thought that, you know, if we protest and we're not violent, they won't beat us because, you know, they'll be going against our civil rights. And what they found out was the very people that were supposed to uphold the law were the ones that were beating them. When we talk about Fannie Lou Hamer being beat up, right, for the voter registration, it was the same thing. The very people who we charged with the job of upholding the law were the ones that were breaking the law, you know, and beating us in our nonviolent protests at that time, right? So, you know, it is a human right to be able to, you know, get water if you're thirsty from any water fountain. But the so-called civility of the laws in America did not allow for human rights. Now, Mr. Harris brought up Malcolm X. He brought up Malcolm X because Malcolm X said, you know what? What you're doing to black people in America and what you're doing to people who are suffering around the world, this is a human violation. You're denying human rights to other humans. It is a violation, right, of whatever laws. Now, I've kind of gone on a tantrum Mr. Harris, could you reel me back in there? Because what I wanted to do was simply I wanted to simplify the difference between civil rights and human rights so that our young man could actually see it in his own mind's eye.
Yeah, well, you were pretty clear, well, at least to me. You know, when it comes to human rights, it's just things that you would think you were supposed to do just because it's a good thing to do. You know, you don't consider what other people got to say about it. Like you're saying, if somebody is sitting there hurt and bleeding and you can help them, your first natural thought is, well, let me help this person. That's where the human rights come in. The civil rights are a set of laws that tells you what you can and cannot do. And so the civil stuff has nothing to do with compassion for humanity, for empathy. It cares about none of those attributes. It's just like, if we say this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and if you do, you're going to jail. This is how civil rights work. And this is what Martin Luther King and his groups were bumping heads against. He says, well, if we're Americans and you accept us as Americans, then every law for other Americans should be my law also. But that's where the rub is coming in. You know, but we have to understand that civil rights is determined by what other men say, whether it has anything to do with the truth or not. Human rights are just your basic understanding that all life is important. And you have to deal with stuff on that level. And it could be a big discussion, but just understand that one of them you would do if there were no laws anywhere. You would help somebody in need. That you would do, that's a human right. And those are what people call human rights. Civil rights is like, I would love to help you, but because of the situation we're in here, you're just going to have to suffer. Sorry about that. And so civil rights can be used negatively to be not rights at all. I don't know whether that cleared it up anymore or not.
Okay, well, Justin, does that clear it up for you?
Yes.
Brielle, what did you think about this discussion between civil rights and human rights? Were you able to listen?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay. Give me a yes or no answer.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you understand about the difference between human rights and civil rights?
The difference between that, so human rights is like, is basically like, it depends on the person. It like, so basically for an example, I'm pretty sure like human rights is something like, it depends on, like, it could be your race, it could be your language, or it could be.
Brielle?
Civil rights is basically something that people who protest about different things going on in the world. That's it.
Okay. Brielle, are you sharing phones with Justin?
Yes.
Okay. We have 9794 on the line. Who is that there? Good morning.
9794. Good morning to you, too. Long time no see. I'm a former student host of Quest Youth Radio, Walter Pierce, and I'm listening in.
Oh, wow. Hey, so while we have you here, did you understand the difference between the civil rights and the human rights as we deliberated to our young people? Do you think we did a good job, and do you understand the difference, and do you have a comment?
Yeah, so yeah, just to simplify, you know, just having a human right is something you're born with, no matter what, no matter who you're affiliated with or anything. It's just something you're born with as a human. But once you are, like, once you have your citizenship to a certain place or whatever it is, a religion, anything, you know, that becomes civil rights. So being an American citizen, you have certain civil rights that you should be able to have. You know, being a part of another country or a certain religion, you have certain civil rights that need to be obtained. So that's really just the difference, and I'm glad y'all were able to express that in more detail.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you with us. We're going to continue. And you know what? We brought his name up more than one time this morning, so let's hear from him, his own words for that period of time in history. Sit back, relax, and take a listen. And you young people specifically, see if you can comprehend, understand what the man is saying.
Every now and then, I guess we all think realistically,
yes, sir,
about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. And that's something that we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want to say? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness, and all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind, but I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth and in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world.
A new world where we admonish, you know, we really celebrate human rights. So now I want to come back to our student host, Brielle Claire. Brielle, hit us off with two segments back to back. Take it away.
Okay. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings, so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for you. Influencer, a person who inspires or guides the actions of others. For an example, she was an influence to many people who changed jazz, and she was also influenced by the type of music, jazz and pop. And the origin of this word is centuries ago, the term influencer was used to refer to either something or someone who had the capability to alter the belief system of people. And where I got this information from was Merriam-Webster. So, Mr. Bay, do you want me to go into my diamonds?
Yes.
Richard Gregory. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Richard Gregory was born on October 12, 1932. At Summer High School, he excelled at running and won the cross-country championship in 1950. He received a track scholarship to the SIU. In 1954, he was interrupted in his college career and was drafted to the United States Army. Gregory started his comedy career in the Army, where he entered and won several talent shows. With the encouragement from his officer in the Army, he traveled to New York at the Blue Angel Nightclub, recording live sets. He came back to Chicago, which was supposed to be one day, but ended up to be 6 weeks, where he ended up on the Jack Parr's show. He continued to perform in the 70s. He also appeared as Mr. Sun on television. In 2006, he spoke at a funeral, the funeral of James Brown. Many years later, in February, he even gave the keynote address for Black History Month. Although time sadly went by, and he unfortunately passed away in 2017, August 19th. And again, you are listening to Riel, and that is it for my segment on Richard Gregory.
Okay. Riel, you have any more segments, or is that it?
Yes, I have one more, my definition.
Yes, so, let's hear it.
So I'm going to be doing my definition of innovation. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. They must define existence and not have it defined for us. Innovation. New idea, method, or device. And the origin of this word is Middle English, which is to innovate. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my definition.
And we want to segue straight into Justin. Justin, how many segments do you have? And let it rip. Let's hear all of them.
Okay. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. My Dharma segment is on Miles Davis. Miles Davis was an American trumpeter, band leader, and composer. He is among the most influential people, the most influential and acclaimed figures in the history of jazz and 20th century music. Davis adopted a variety of musical directions in a five-decade career that kept him at the forefront of many major stylistic developments in jazz. Much of Davis's time was spent in clubs seeking his idol, Charlie Parker. Davis was a member of Billy Eckstine's big band in 1946, and Gillespie's in 1947. That is it for my drama segment. Now I will go into my definition segment. This segment provides the listener with words and a meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have defined for us. And my definition segment is on the word posterity. All future generations of people. Also, the descendants of a person. And that is it for my diamonds and my definition segment of today. And this should check. And again, I am still host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay, so you don't have any more segments left?
No.
Okay, so starting with Brielle, give us a behind the mic, and more importantly, tell us what you learned, what you got out of today's show.
Okay, so first up, I had Billie Holiday, and she was basically somebody who loved singing, and her favorite type of music was jazz and pop. And she was even able to, like, basically write a song, which was, she was able to write a song. And what she did, Strange Fruit, and what she did, it was based on lynching in the South and civil rights movement. So throughout her song, she was able to basically talk about things that were wrong. And the definition for her was influencer, and that basically means to inspire or guide the actions of others. And she basically influenced many people, and she was also able to change jazz, according to the website. And Richard Gregory, he was somebody who excelled. He was a very good student, like, in his earlier days, especially high school. And in the army, he found his passion in comedy, and he even had an officer that encouraged him to be a comedian. And my definition for him was innovation, and that basically means to new idea, method, or device. And that is it. And what I learned today was Billie Holiday and how she influenced many people and spoke about things that were wrong through her passion, which was singing.
Mr. Harris, what do you? How do you sum up in your comment for today's show?
I think it was a very good show. I think that the people that we talked about, even though they were different, they were related in how they were dealing with life and doing things. And I kind of like the fact that even though this might have been the first time our student hosts had heard about these people, they done gained a couple more brain cells on what's going on with the types of stuff, because there are millions of us that are doing wonderful things that a lot of people don't know about. And the more we talk about them, the more their messages will stay alive. I thought it was a wonderful show.
Right. for that word prosperity. Yeah, you know, let's get our former student host in here and find out what he thought about today's show. What's up, Walter?
Today was a really good show. I'm really glad that we were able to just educate each other and, you know, bring knowledge to the topic of, you know, the oldies, you know, the Billie Holidays, the Herb Louis Armstrong in there. We heard Harry Belafonte, you know, just teaching about our history is always important, and just why I love this show.
Okay. Well, how are you doing otherwise?
I'm doing great, you know. It's great. First year of college, almost done. And they wasn't lying about this goes by fast.
Okay. All right. It certainly does. It's all a blur to me now. I want to come back to our student host, Justin Hill, to close us out.
I want to thank everyone for joining us, and make sure you check out our next show on 89.5 FM on the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
Youth radio.
Youth.